Friends, we come to you again with another message on the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. The last time, we mentioned the fact that there will be laws in the kingdom, subjects in the kingdom, and who will execute those laws, where the different nations of the world will be located, all about the millennial oblation and the division of land, and about the Jews having a temple in the millennium, and also priests and a river flowing out from under the millennial sanctuary. Now we continue with several other important questions that will help us to understand this period. Will there be offerings in the future temple at Jerusalem? Every offering mentioned in the law was to be observed by Israel forever, as proved by following statements in the law, which are found 2 to 8 times in the single chapter of the book of Moses. For example, you've read many times in those books that Moses wrote, that special Pentateuch, it is a statute forever, or by a statute forever throughout their generations. This should be an everlasting statute unto you, by a perpetual statute, by an ordinance forever. There are many such statements in connection with the offerings and the feasts of the law which can only be taken in a literal sense. These offerings are definitely mentioned as being the future temple described by Ezekiel to be the place where Christ will reign in the midst of the children of Israel forever. Just as sure as you read Ezekiel 43:7 and believe it, you will find that Christ will have a throne in that temple and will reign in the midst of the children of Israel in all eternity to come. Just as sure as you learn that and believe that, you can learn the rest of these wonderful truths in the same chapters, the 40th to the 48th chapters of Ezekiel. We have burnt offerings mentioned, Ezekiel 43:24-27, and 45:17-25, also the whole 46th chapter. We have sin offerings mentioned in Ezekiel 43:19-23, and 45 and 46 also. You have meat offerings mentioned in these chapters, trespass offerings, peace offerings, all these types of offerings that are referred to in the book of Leviticus. When God gave the law to Moses, you will find them mentioned in the same details and the same literal sense in the millennium in these chapters in Ezekiel. You must remember that Ezekiel was prophesying about the time of the destruction of Jerusalem, about 7 or 616 B.C. And what he predicted about these sacrifices had to come to pass after his day, or it wouldn't be prophecy. And none of it was fulfilled up to the time of the destruction of Jerusalem, 70 A.D., when the Jews were scattered among the nations, where they have been ever since. And we have not found the fulfillment of those chapters since 70 A.D. till now. So we have to be sensible and believe that if God is true at all, which he is, place all the fulfillment of those chapters in the millennium when the Messiah shall come. The idea is simply that Christ will reestablish many of those ancient forms of worship as a kindergarten program for natural men in the millennium and eternally. They will be as a memorial, just like we observe the Lord's Supper today, as a memorial, showing forth the Lord's death till he does come again. So in the millennium, the sacrifices and the offerings that are mentioned in those chapters in Ezekiel and are more fully described in the law of Moses will be observed as a memorial of what Christ did on the cross and during his lifetime and during his death, burial, and resurrection. And just like the law of Moses was a type or a figure or a shadow before Christ came, it will simply be a memorial after he comes again. To some it seems unreasonable that the old sacrifices and ceremonial law will be established in the millennium and forever. But when we consider that neither Jews nor Gentiles have ever kept the law in its true sense, with the heart as well as externally, it does not seem unreasonable. These ordinances will not be the means of salvation any more in the future than they were in Old Testament times. Paul tells us plainly in Hebrews 9:12-15 that those sacrifices of the law of Moses did not take away sins. So they will not be offered in the future to take away sins, simply as a picture, a kindergarten outward program for men to see what Christ actually did suffer and what he went through during his death and even during his life on the cross and following that. They will serve as simply as memorials of a deeper significance than they ever served as types or shadows of old. Read Ezekiel 46:14, and you will find this statement, a perpetual ordinance unto the Lord. Now, if Ezekiel made the statement by the Holy Spirit that the sacrifices mentioned in that particular chapter, 46 of Ezekiel, were to be memorials, or rather were to be perpetual ordinances unto the Lord, were to be observed perpetually, then that should be a settled fact and should be accepted, whether we understand it fully or not. You don't understand even the law of Moses. You never lived back in those days to see how they carried on things even in that period. Naturally, you're not expected to understand every detail. That's the purpose of it being reestablished again, so that every man, every woman, every boy and girl can see with the eyes the sufferings of certain sacrifices as memorials of what Christ actually suffered when he fulfilled the types and shadows of the old covenant program. So there will be offerings in the future temple. Now, will the feasts of Jehovah be observed in the millennium? You read in the 26th chapter of the book of Leviticus, 23rd chapter rather, all about the feasts of Jehovah. The feasts are nearly all mentioned again in Ezekiel and Zechariah as being kept when the Messiah comes to reign. The feast of the Passover is mentioned in Ezekiel 45:21 as being observed again in the millennium. Christ sanctioned this himself in the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke when he said that I will no longer eat of this Passover lamb and drink of this fruit of the vine until I do it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Plainly teaching that the Passover will be observed again in the time that Christ comes to live on earth and reign on earth. So we have the Passover mentioned. We have the Feast of Unleavened Bread in Ezekiel 45:21 that's going to be observed during the millennium. Feast of First Fruits in Ezekiel 44:30. The Feast of Pentecost, or what is called the Feast of Weeks in Ezekiel 46:9. The Feast of Trumpets in Ezekiel 44:5. The Day of Atonement, Ezekiel 45:46, both of those chapters. And the Feast of Tabernacles, Ezekiel 45:25. Thus you have the seven great feasts of Jehovah mentioned in the 23rd chapter of the book of Leviticus, mentioned again now by the prophet in these future prophecies yet to be fulfilled when the Messiah comes. Zechariah 14:16 confirms the truth of Ezekiel that the Feast of Tabernacles will be observed during that period. We read there, it shall come to pass every one that is left of all these nations which came up against Jerusalem to battle shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Whosoever shall not go up of all the families of the earth, upon them there shall be no rain. This shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. There shall be holiness on the bells of the horses, and every pot and pan in Jerusalem shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. There shall be no more a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Thus, I don't see anything wrong in having typical feasts, which will serve as memorials in those days instead of types and shadows. Christ has already come, and Christ our Passover is already sacrificed. But to have those national feasts where natural man, as he lives in the millennium, can go up and send representatives at least from all nations to honor God and honor Christ and observe certain feasts and certain rituals as part of the civil government of that particular time and part of the religious program. In addition to these offerings and feasts, the new moons, the Sabbaths, and all the ordinances of the house of the Lord. In fact, Ezekiel said, all solemnities of the house of Israel will be observed during the millennium and even in the new earth forever. Let me give you two or three references where it plainly says that, all the solemnities of the house of Israel. Ezekiel 44:5, and especially Ezekiel 45:17, and 46:1-3. Now, what will be the spiritual conditions in the millennium? The spiritual conditions in the millennium will be wonderful. The outpoured Holy Spirit will be a great spiritual change in the earth. Joel 2:28-32 predicts the time when the Messiah shall come and reign over the house of Jacob, and how the Holy Spirit will be poured out during that time. It uses the word afterward, referring to after the return of Jesus Christ to the earth and after the restoration of Israel at the beginning of the millennium. It says, it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, upon all flesh. Isaiah 32:5 mentions the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, also verses 13 and 15 of the 32nd of Isaiah. Ezekiel 36:25-27 and the 39th chapter, verses 28-29, speaks of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the days of the reign of the Messiah on earth. Zechariah 12:10 through the 13th chapter, the first verse, said, I will pour out of my spirit, spirit of grace and supplication upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Every family shall mourn apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart. Every family apart. And it shall come to pass in that day, continuing in the 13th of Zechariah, verse 1, that the Lord shall open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem a fountain for sin and uncleanness. Although the prophecies of Joel and others of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit were first fulfilled in what we call the Spirit baptism in on the day of Pentecost, that's plainly referred to in Acts 2, where Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams. Upon my servants and upon my handmaidens will I pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon and the blood before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So Peter says this is the fulfillment of Joel. And then he said, Joel will also be fulfilled in the last days, just before the coming of Christ and the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And of course, when you read Joel 2:28-32, you'll find that it's referring primarily, and the final and complete fulfillment of it will be when the Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh during the millennium. To have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit of that nature and of that completeness upon all flesh during the future tribulation period and then during the millennium will certainly bring about a great change in the earth. So let's think of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit bringing wonderful spiritual conditions all through the earth upon those who want the blessing during that time. Not only will the outpoured Spirit be a fulfillment of prophecy during the millennium, but there will be universal knowledge of the Lord. Isaiah 11:9, Zechariah 8:22-23, and also Habakkuk 2:14 speaks of the universal knowledge of the Lord in that time. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. There will be universal knowledge knowledge for all, so that all will know the ways of the Lord, whether they want to walk in them or not. Many will not walk in the ways of God spiritually, as is clear, from the fact that the devil will be liberated at the end of the 1,000 years, and many will follow after him, and also from the fact that many sinners will be executed during the millennium if they break civil laws worthy, which has the death penalty. Everyone can see what a great change there will be in the earth if the knowledge of the Lord is going to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. There are about 682,400,000 professed Christians of over 2 billion people in the world today. How many truly born-again Christians there are of these professed followers of Jesus Christ is not known. True facts were known, the percentage would be very small. One must be born again and made a new creature in Christ and live a consistent life of holiness before he can call God a true father, and he can be a real true Christian. So there will be a universal knowledge of the Lord during that period. Then we read of the Jewish missionaries during the period. Isaiah 2:2-4 tells us that many shall say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their weapons into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." So you see, it says the word of the Lord shall go forth from Jerusalem. That's what Isaiah 52 had in mind, or has in mind, where it says, "How beautiful upon the mountains of him that publisheth peace, that preacheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth." Now, we can't say that today. We cannot preach that God is now reigning in Zion. But when God does reign in Zion through Christ and the resurrected saints, then the scripture will be literally fulfilled, "That saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth." Zechariah 8:23 tells us that in that day 10 men will take hold of a skirt of him that is a Jew, say, "We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." The Jewish people will become the missionaries of the gospel and the priests of the law during this millennial age and forever. They will carry out God's plan for the first time since God originally called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and promised to make their seed a blessing to all the nations of the world. The missionary program will be carried on then by the same means that it should be carried on today by, with the exception that it will be a governmental enterprise instead of a church enterprise as it is today. The purpose of God in establishing the government under the Lord Jesus Christ is to put down all rebellion in the universe and bring the earth back to God so that there will be no more sin, no more sickness, no more death, no more curse, that everything will be in perfect harmony with him as before rebellion started in earth. Being a just God, he will not even destroy rebels without giving them the knowledge of the means of reconciliation to him, giving them a chance to become reconciled. Hence the necessity of filling the earth with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. He will then have a just and recognizable basis of judgment against all who rebel against truth. Such a universal missionary program will necessitate the cooperation of all the governmental, news, and other agencies and various organizations and the establishment of all churches and schools in every locality. Many other things too numerous to mention in this present lecture. Then there will be a universal knowledge, a universal religion, with the universal knowledge. Matthew 1:11, or Malachi 1:11 it is, "The knowledge of the Lord," rather the name of the Lord, "should be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same." To the going down of the same. Zechariah 14 speaks of a universal religion. What it says Everyone that is left of all these nations which came up against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King of the Lord of hosts and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Whosoever shall not go up of all the families of the earth, upon them there shall be no rain. So you see, the government will force all nations at least to send representatives to keep the Feast of Tabernacle and carry on the outward worship during that time. He won't force them to be born again and to be changed in heart and to be spiritual, but he will force them to recognize his outward religious rituals and laws during that time. Then Isaiah 2 will be fulfilled, where it speaks that many nations shall say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, we will walk in his paths." So you see, there will be a universal religion during that time. Earth won't be divided into all kinds of false religions, and the Christian religion be divided into hundreds of different groups. But every person will have to recognize the civil and religious laws of the one government of that particular period. You don't need to be afraid of Russia dominating the world or of the Antichrist of the future dominating every nation in the world. The Bible never teaches any such thing. The only truly universal worldwide government and worldwide religious program will be when Jesus Christ comes to fulfill the promises and the covenants made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all Israel. This will be the result of the universal missionary program and the preaching of the gospel of salvation unto the ends of the earth. It will become popular then to serve God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So it will not take long for the universal religion to be realized. Everybody will go to church or the place of worship and have a Bible of his own in his own language. Every community will be like the days of heaven on the earth. Then beside the universal knowledge and the outpouring of the Spirit and universal religion, we read of the glory of God being continually manifest in those days. Read the whole fourth chapter of the book of Isaiah, where we read of a tabernacle to be made in those days, and how that every one will go to the Lord and see the glory of God as it hovers over Jerusalem and the tabernacle of God during that particular time. And we read in that chapter that it would even be a refuge from storm and from rain. Also in the 35th chapter of Isaiah, verse 2, the 60th chapter of Isaiah, the first 9 verses, Ezekiel 43, 1-5, and other passages speak of the glory of God during that millennial period, when the millennial temple worship will be carried on and the Messiah will be reigning. There will be certain wonderful manifestations of the glory of God, just like back in the days of Israel, when they had a pillar of the fire by night and a pillar of the cloud by day. We read in Ezekiel 11, 22-25 of the glory of God leaving the old Jewish temple in the days of Ezekiel. And in the 43rd chapter of Ezekiel, verses 1-5, and Zechariah 6, 11 and 12, we have predictions that this glory will come back, but will not come back until the nation of Israel is fully restored under the Messiah, and they build a temple and have the restored worship as in days of old. Then another thing, salvation for all. That will be a wonderful, wonderful change in the millennium. And it will be a wonderful blessing to all the nations of the earth. Not only did Peter predict that the day of Pentecost would be repeated again in the last days, just before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, but he indicated that it would continue as many as the Lord our God would call, as long as God would call. He promised the same thing in Acts 2, 38 and 39. He said, "As many as the Lord our God shall call." Isaiah 12 speaks of the waters of salvation. And Isaiah 2 speaks of the many nations going up and saying, "We will go up to the mountain of the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways and we will walk in his paths." That implies universal salvation. In other words, a general salvation for multitudes of people in the earth. And I repeat again, not that everyone will be saved, not that everyone will accept salvation, but everyone will be forced to acknowledge and have a mental understanding of salvation and will have to go through certain outward rituals in order to keep alive during that particular period. Salvation is not to be enforced upon men today anymore, will it be in the millennium. It will be there, salvation will be for all, and there will be a universal knowledge of it, so there will be no excuse for any ignorance. In fact, I maintain that there is no excuse for any ignorance of God's salvation today. If we'll be simple about the Bible and read it for ourselves, we can understand all there is to know about Christ and his religion and how to serve him. Then there will be a universal holiness and righteousness throughout the earth. Zechariah 14 speaks, there shall be holiness even on the bells of the horses, and every pot and pan in Jerusalem shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and there shall be no more a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Then divine healing will be for all. In the 32nd, 33rd, and 35th chapters of Isaiah, we read that the lame man shall leap like an hart, the tongue of the dumb shall sing, and the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. You know why they will be healed during that time and why there will be universal health and universal healing? Because men will then have the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea and will understand the Bible and will recognize that Jesus Christ atoned for the sicknesses as well as for the sins of all men. And they will believe what the prophets and what the gospels have said. The Gospels tell us this, Matthew 8:17, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Men will believe that in those days. In second chapter of 1 Peter 2:24, we find this, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Men will believe that in those days, and God will come on the scene and meet the faith of people, and everybody will be healthy and will walk in the ways of God according to the will of God, at least outwardly. Yearly pilgrimages will be made to Jerusalem according to Isaiah 14:1-21. Then there will be the new and eternal covenant. All right, all these things prove there will be a wonderful change in the spiritual conditions during the millennium.
Now, I am no mind reader, but common logic tells me that while Reverend Dake has been giving you this radio Bible lecture, some of you have been saying to yourself, I wish I could know more about this subject or read some of that man's writings. Well, you can do just that very thing by sitting down right now and addressing a common dime store envelope to the Dake Bible Sales, Station A, Atlanta 10, Georgia. You don't need to be fancy about it, and you don't need to write a letter. Just tear off a piece from the grocery sack or any other kind of paper that's handy and write one sentence. Say, send me information about Reverend Dake's writings. Print your name and address plainly and mail it to us. Then, just as soon as the mail can bring it back to you, you will receive full descriptions and price lists of all his writings, including a circular about the new Dake's Annotated Reference Bible. Now, this is not a new Bible in the sense of a new version. It's the same old beloved King James Version that your mother prayed over, that your dad carried to church, and the one you learned the Ten Commandments from. It's only called new because it is now published with Mr. Dake's side column notes, which give you everything in one volume that you need from many other books to make the text understandable. Things that you need from an atlas, for instance, a Bible dictionary, a commentary, prophecy book, Bible synthesis, hermeneutics, and others. This volume is no more and no less than the Bible lover's dream come true, something that's been needed for years. And think of it, instead of buying an entire shelf of books, which would surely cost you more than a pretty penny, in fact, more than several pretty $5 bills, you can get in one handy-sized copy what you need from such a bookshelf. Write us today, and we'll rush the particulars to you. Send your request for a free circular to Dake Bible Sales, Station A, Atlanta 10, Georgia.